Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now. Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, hopefully soon to be joined by Matt Hankins, and unfortunately not going to be joined once again by Charles Anschutz tonight of Southern Fried Championship Wrestling fame, though we will talk later in the show about SFCW's event this weekend, as well as many other things. And I think I've got Matt with me now. Is that you, Matt?
You do. As a father of a one-year-old, you never know when the next tantrum is going to strike. And, you know, he doesn't know that I'm a cherished broadcaster on the airwaves.
Who's that, Charles?
That would be my son.
Oh, your son. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Well,
poor Charles.
You've got a mute
Whatever.
Button, right?
I'm prepared. I'm prepared. I have gotten outside, and hopefully that will be distance enough.
Well, I recall you used to sit on the porch and drink beer during the shows. Is that still the case?
I'm in the front yard now, and I just smoke.
Oh, okay. I don't know which is healthier, but...
You know, one vice for the other. Soon enough, I'll just be vaping, so, you know, I'm working on it.
As annoying as that is, I do believe it's slightly healthier than the alternative.
Man, cigarettes are delicious, though. I don't know why everybody keeps knocking them.
Well, we've got a big show tonight. I don't know if you heard, Charles is not joining us, but it'll be me and you and a former WWE World Tag Team Champion, Trevor Murdoch, who will be making a rare appearance in Georgia this Saturday for Stranglehold Wrestling's Bloodbath event. So, yeah, looking forward to talking to him in a few minutes. And we've got another guy going to call in shortly to make an announcement about an addition to the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network. But I'll let him handle all that. But in the meantime, Matt, did you catch any live wrestling over the weekend?
I was at NWA Atlanta. First time I've been there since I sent out Getz packing. Which was a joyous reunion, and man, they were off for the month of August, so they actually had their first show back a couple weeks ago. It's the first time I've been back since they've been back, and absence has made the heart grow fonder because it was a rabid crowd, and they have made some impressive improvements to the building, built a ramp, lights and everything jumping. They built a big NWA, I'm going to call it, Woodcraft, very reminiscent of the old Raw set when it just had the big RAW right there that everybody came out under. Very reminiscent of that. Did not survive the night thanks to Bill the Butcher and a brawl in the main event that sent, I think, the W and the A careening down. But, hey, what are you going to do? It's not a wrestling event till the set gets broke. So good effect on that. But a pretty good show from that bunch. And, you know, as we talked about a little bit last week, that second and fourth Saturday is wide open for at least another month or so until we find out what happens in Cornelia or we see. I'm starting to see a lot more flyers popping up, though, so it looks like people are trying to get ready to fill their void. But, no, a good show overall for them. If Rick Michaels danced a couple times in the back, and that's always a sign of a good show.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a sign of something, depending on where Rick Michaels is.
but good to see Iceberg back in action after he got his face busted pretty good at the hands of Dustin McWilliams at a Peach State show a couple weeks ago. But he, you know, no surgery needed, so that's all Berg needed to hear. He's not going to stop. I'm sure he would have wrestled from the surgery room if need be.
Oh, well, that explains why he was wearing a very ominous Black Mask when I saw him yesterday at AWE's event.
Absolutely.
I figured it was
for sure.
For added theatrics, but I guess it actually serves a purpose.
Of course, Berg protects himself in a very ominous fashion.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, there's a new show coming to the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network. It's not a new show. It's new to Georgia Wrestling History, but it's been around for a few months, and it's called the Fans of Wrestling Radio Show. And one of their hosts or co-hosts, Michael Williams, is now joining us to let us know more about that.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. So I guess people know a little bit about the Fans of Wrestling Show.
It's kind of a big deal for us. We all kind of feel like we're being called up to the Pantheon right now with some of the giants of the Georgia wrestling scene. We are Fans of Wrestling Radio, FOW Radio. We're fans of wrestling, just like it says. We kind of bring a fan perspective to some of the mainstream wrestling news, bits, and rumors. We also cover some local stuff. We're big Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment fans, so we cover some of that too. But, you know, we kind of bring a fan perspective to things and our opinions. You know, we're not in the business. We're not promoters. We're not wrestlers. We're not professionals by any stretch, but we are, you know, we're passionate fans of wrestling, and that's kind of the way that we approach it. And frankly, you know, it's really an honor to be added to the Georgia Wrestling History lineup. We're all big fans of all the shows on there. And like I said, it's a really big deal for us. We're kind of astounded that we're kind of being called up with the gods right now.
How did this all come about? I just found out yesterday when I saw Larry Goodman at the AWE show.
I found out pretty recently also. Patrick Alvarez is kind of our ringleader at FOW, and he and Larry had been in some talks recently, and an offer was extended, and so we graciously accepted it, the way I understand it.
All right. So you guys have already been around for a few months. You have a website, I think. Is that right?
Right. You can find us at FOWradio.com. We're on Twitter at FOWradio, Facebook at FOWradio. You name it, look for FOWradio, you're going to find us.
All right. And then so you'll be Friday nights at what time?
I am not sure what time that's going to be dropping Friday night, but we are going to be, our show will be out starting this Friday, September 18th. I believe that we're scheduled to be talking to independent star JT Dunn. So hopefully that'll be happening this Friday, and we're all looking forward to it.
Much time we've got, Jonathan, but I'd love to get Michael's take on that AWE show yesterday. I know I followed a lot of it on social media. Woo Wrestling was doing a good job of tweeting that out. I'd love to, it sounded like it was bedlam. I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
You know, I felt like the building was going to come apart at times. You know, when you have Sabu running around and there's like chairs flying left and right and lights getting smashed, like everywhere you go, I don't know if any of us were safe there, but I mean, the show was high energy. It was probably one of the best shows I've seen from AWE so far. That Lucky Seven Scramble was pandemonium. We actually, some of us passed by Iceberg in the hallway a little before that match, and we kind of asked him, like, hey, are you ready for that scramble match? And he kind of shook his head and said, I guess. How do you get ready for something like that? You know, the scramble match is fantastic. JT Dunn and Jimmy Rave was a roller coaster. You know, Sabu putting Murder One through that table was something I've been waiting to see for months. So that was extremely gratifying to finally see it happen. I thought it was a fantastic show. I think that Larry wrote sometime recently that AWE was a promotion in search of an audience for its product, and it had finally found it. And I think that that's poignant and that's true, that AWE is finally starting to build that audience for what it's putting out there. And I think it's a good thing, because what it's putting out there has been improving.
Yeah, he wrote a report.
That
I saw I think he posted his review today at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. So I read over it a little bit, and it, you know, he pretty much said everything I thought about it, and I agree with what you had to say about it as well. The past
I had seen that his report was out today, but I haven't had a chance to look it over yet.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, you know, they're doing these seasons, so season two, it seems like, is where they kind of hit their stride. And
absolutely.
the shows that they've done since then, which has been about, I guess, the past month or two, especially yesterday and the Fall of the White Rabbit show a couple weeks ago. Definitely, I think they're finally getting in their groove, figuring out what their image is, I guess, and what the, you know, what they're trying to do and who they're trying to appeal to. And, you know, they're bringing in people like J.T. Dunn, who we talked to last Monday.
Right. I think they're really starting to define their vibe. There's sort of a, it's hard to describe it, but there's a vibe to these shows now. There's a personality to these cards. And I think when they were running, they started out running, you know, monthly shows, which is what a lot of people do. But a lot of times it's really hard to, you know, develop your homegrown characters and develop your homegrown storylines, you know, within your promotion when you're running once a month. And I think that's where you fall into, okay, who's our big draw this month and who's our big draw next month, as opposed to, you know, what are our several storylines that are bringing people back to see how they develop. And with AWE in season two starting to run shows more often, you know, several times a month, now I'm able to figure out who are these guys, you know, who is Owen Knight, for instance, what kind of a character is he? So when I think of Owen Knight versus so-and-so, I know if that's a story I want to see or not, because I know who the characters are, beyond just guy that comes out and either, you know, high fives me or pretends to high five me and then, you know, psychs me out at the last second. So I know whether he's a good or a bad guy. I'm learning more about this roster and more about that promotion and more about, you know, the world of AWE. And so now I want to go to these shows because I want to see how these stories are developing, where I didn't have that before.
Right.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with that. They're telling better stories than they have in their history, and it's paying dividends. I mean, that building is crazy, and it's starting to become their building. And as soon as you get that, you got to keep feeding the people. But I think they're on the right track. Who is somebody down there? You mentioned Owen Knight. Who is somebody down there that is kind of a homegrown, that's not one of the, you know, the known indie guys that you're really into?
Well, you know, the guys that I'm. It's hard for me to know because there's a lot of the independent scene that I'm not plugged into, so it's hard for me to know how well-known some of these guys are, but I'm a big Chip Day fan. Adrian Armour is a guy that's really been winning me over. Silas Cross is a guy that I'm starting to get behind. Owen Knight is just kind of fun. You know, people, when he comes out, people cheer him, and then he has to, like, play it off like, I don't need that. I don't need you to cheer me because he's the bad guy. But, like, he's such a fun character that you want to clap for him. Darkmon is a guy who's really been, you know, tearing his way through AWE lately, and he's not a guy that I knew much about before he started coming to Atlanta. So those are all guys that right now are selling tickets for me and bringing me back in the door for these shows.
All right. Well, good luck with everything on Friday nights. I understand you're going to pre-record and upload your show, so it'll be a little different from what we do and what they do on Tuesday.
That is the plan.
So, but feel free to call in anytime if you want to let us know who you got coming up, you know, calling in the next week or whatever.
Okay, sounds good. We'll definitely take you guys up on that. Really appreciate it.
All right, well, have a good night, and looking forward to hearing it on Friday.
You too. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thank you. So, yeah, fans of Wrestling Radio, Friday nights, blogtalkradio.com/PSP. I guess there will be more information forthcoming about the time that it will air. So, yeah, now we've got, what is that, 4 shows, I guess, every week for us here at the GWH Radio Network. Have you ever listened to their show before, Matt?
I have not, but just what I heard right there, he's got a good, strong presence and knows his bits. I think this going to be, I think this going to work out fine. I think it is a good addition to have a completely fan-based a thing that is rooted, you know, in currently what's going on. I think that's a great place for that to be.
Yeah. And they tend to cover more, aside from AWE, they mostly talk about mainstream stuff, WWE, a little bit of TNA, a little bit of Ring of Honor. So it'll be a little bit different than, you know, we're kind of focused on the local scene here. So we touch on those things when it pertains to Georgia in some way, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And these days, those two are getting further and further. The line is getting smaller and smaller between, you know, what we see on TV versus what we see here, especially with, you know, what AWE is doing. And, you know, Peach State's always bringing people in. And then you've got WrestleAmerica down in Barnesville that's populated with people that, you know, make their hay on the national scene. So it's not getting too far between. They see it's a big time versus what we see here on a regular basis, which is a good thing for all of us.
Right. Well, speaking of that, tonight's guest is a good example of that, I guess. And speaking of Sabu, who was, or I just saw yesterday, he's going to be part of this event as well. Stranglehold Wrestling, it's going to be at, I believe it's the same venue that All-Star Wrestling Network runs in Fort Valley, Georgia. The address is 1361 Peach Parkway. The lineup includes Iceberg, Sabu with Genie Gunner. Who else?
I believe I saw Madman Pondo's on that thing.
Yeah. Lots of people. Oh,
yeah,
Tank.
Yeah, a lot of. Yeah, Tank. A lot of big names there. Pretty good. I guess they've got, is their debut show the day before? Is that their first actual show? Or did they have one maybe a couple weeks back?
Stranglehold, well, let's see. We've got Stranglehold Wrestling's own Eric Nelson calling in, so we can ask him. I know they did an autograph event that didn't include wrestling.
That's right. That's what
a couple months ago. But
yeah.
Eric, is that you?
I'm right here. How you guys doing tonight?
All right, how are you?
Oh, pleasure is all mine. Thank you guys for having me. To answer your question, I believe it's Matt.
Yes.
Yeah, Matt Hankins.
This will be our debut show in the style of the hardcore deathmatch wrestling that is taking the country by storm right now. I figured I would give Georgia a change of pace. But to answer your question, we will have Sabu, we will have Gunner. Former WWE Tag Team Champion Trevor Murdoch will be doing a Dusty Rhodes bull rope match with a guy that needs no introduction, Dangerous Danny Horn. He's known throughout the local Georgia scene as well. And, of course, Madman Pondo will be there in the main event in a steel cage match. We also have Corporal Robinson making his Georgia debut in his signature boot camp match with an OVW newcomer, Austin Bradley.
Oh, yeah, way to have a real small debut there, guys.
we appreciate it. I'm a Macon Knight myself. Grew up and born and bred in Macon, Georgia. I want to give my region of Georgia something for me to come back home to. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You've definitely been promoting it well because it's something that I constantly see in the timeline. I'm constantly hearing about it. Did I see you announce someone joined your booking team a couple months ago?
That's right. Mr. Jay Fury of PCW fame has joined my booking team. Yeah, I think that myself and Mr. Fury will bring some crowd pleasing shows to the Georgia area here in the future as well.
As an old PCWite and a current one, it does my heart good to know that Jay Fury is involved with wrestling on a regular basis.
Oh, absolutely. Very, very good mind of this business. Has a lot of great ideas.
Impressive.
We flow off each other pretty good with ideas. You know, it's kind of like he knows what I'm thinking before I'm going to say it, and it's kind of like the reverse, you know. So it's been a fun ride so far. I'm looking forward to him sitting in that seat come Saturday night. We're going to have a return date that I'll announce after Bloodbath for October. As stands right now, I plan to do regular monthly shows until, of course, I can build things up a little better and kind of see where the fans are at, you know what I mean?
Are you looking to, you know, this one's kind of got a theme to it, you know, so it's the deathmatch kind of thing. Are you looking to do teams as you get going, or are you just going to kind of play it out and see how it goes?
Well, like I said, you know, if you look at ECW's heyday, you know, to make a slight comparison, you know, there will be a lot of blood, but not every match will be bloody. Like, I'm going to have a strong women's division, which, of course, we don't want to have our eye candy getting all bloody, you know. And, of course, you know, there are a lot of, you know, high flyers out there like the Washington Bullets that I intend to incorporate into my mix out there. you know, very good tag team. I think they're going to help me do some pretty big things. They're very dominant. They're very flashy, a lot of pizzazz.
That is good to hear. We're inundated with promotions, but I think there's always room for something different. You seem to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, if my thing, you know, out there to the other guys, I'm not trying to step on any toes. You know, I'm sticking to my part of Georgia. You know, something I'm more familiar with. AWN has been a longtime friend of mine, Mr. Mike Money himself, and I want to touch on this real quick, if it's possible. We are doing a special for this show. AWN is running a regularly scheduled show on the 18th, which is Friday, where Pandora is actually, you know, making a long time awaited return there. I hear that she's feuding with their general manager, Ryan North, over a potential contract. So in order to, you know, augment AWN as well as Stranglehold, myself and Mike Money came up with Lucky 13 special. For any fans out there listening, if you want to attend both shows, just the low price of $13, you can see both shows. And honestly, I think that's still of a deal. You know, two shows for $13. I mean,
how much is
a movie
it for,
these days.
How much is it for just one or the other show?
Well, just for Bloodbath, it's $10. I think for Mike Money show, it's like $5, I think. But $13 for two shows, I still don't think it's a bad idea.
That's
definitely cheaper than doing
the movies. Especially if you can get a little bit off of it, you're doing even better for yourself.
Right, right. Well, like I said, AWN has always been one of those promotions near and dear to me. It's actually where I started 13 years ago now, yeah. So, you know, I have a lot of kinship with those guys, especially Mike Money. He's one of my closest friends in the business. So, I'm glad to be returning to my home state after a distinguished military career. You know, doing some pretty big things with the Central Georgia fans, and hopefully won't leave you guys disappointed.
Well, you know, Central Georgia has always felt, you know, underserved as far as coverage, and especially when it gets time for the end of the year award. So I think the door is open for Central Georgia to make some serious noise. And Macon is an area that always supported wrestling, and it's been hasn't had quite as much of it here recently as they probably could have supported and wanted to. So I think you're in a great spot.
I think so too. You know, Macon especially has been a hotbed for wrestling for at least 40 years that I know of. I mean, there was Georgia Championship Wrestling, you know, Fred Ward Promotions. There were a lot of good wrestling back in my day, you know, as a youngster growing up in Macon. You know, historically, I think that was the territories were better than anything the WWF or WWE has brought to the table in that region for the longest.
I think a lot of people would agree with that. So you're gonna run mostly in that area. It sounds like, is that
right?
Correct, or are you gonna move around?
Yeah, Central Georgia is pretty much, you know, where my heart and soul is. You know, it's actually where I grew up. It's where I got into the wrestling business. You know, it's kind of near and dear and special to me.
And I think
doing some cross-promoting with AWN as well will help them out.
Right. Yeah. Well, you mentioned the ticket discount. Where can people purchase these tickets? Is there some place online?
Well, we do have an Eventbrite link on our Facebook page. We also will have them at the door.
Okay.
We'll also be selling Stranglehold tickets the night of their show as well. So that way, if anybody missed the boat on that, you know, couldn't quite figure out the link, and they show up to the AWN show, you know, and pay the price to get in, and we'll give them the same discounted rate that night of the show as well.
Do you have plans to run on a regular basis, monthly or something like that?
Right. We're looking at running a regular monthly show. Like I said, we don't want to burn everybody out, you know, by running more than monthly. I think monthly with what we're doing is going to be enough.
Right. So the card for this Bloodbath show, is that kind of indicative of what will be your roster, or are you going to bring in kind of a rotating cast of bigger names like
this
show?
There will be some other faces come in. You will see certain members of my current roster, you know, on every show, but then you will see some different faces as we progress. Yeah, I've been in negotiations with some former ECW guys. Of course, I talked to a lot of guys on the deathmatch scene, such as Bondo and Cork and many of their others. You know, I've been talking to a guy known as Masada. You guys may know him if you follow any, you know, deathmatch wrestling.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I definitely think Masada making a long way return to Georgia would be good. I can see some really big potential things going on. There's some angles working. I really don't want to give away the farm on this, but I really don't think you guys will be disappointed.
Well, it sounds like you got things going in the right direction.
Oh, absolutely.
So, do you know if Trevor Murdoch's still calling in?
Absolutely. I'm waiting on him now, actually.
Okay. I've got his music queued up and everything, but...
Doing that style of wrestling, regulations often change. Have you had to jump through any hoops because you're doing that style of matches there?
Well, like I said, there's been some pushback about, like, with all the concerns about bloodborne pathogens. I've been very careful about who not to book with that.
I've been
also careful to make sure these guys are getting checked up on, you know, like I said, and, you know, as of 2 weeks ago, everybody informed me they were good to go. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, let's do this.
Was that your favorite style of wrestling, you know, as you kind of came into your own watching it?
Well, honestly, no. I really grew up a traditionalist growing up in Georgia, but once I was stationed in the upper mid-Atlantic, you know, up into the northeast, you know, ECW was a big thing up here. And, of course, I went to my very first ECW show in the early 90s, you know, in Philadelphia. So, you know, go ahead, sorry.
But that, I'm going to phrase this politically correctly. Georgia can be very finicky on what they like and what they don't like.
That's true.
Have you got a contingency plan in mind in case that they, because
oh,
the cops
yeah,
are
I mean,
on you, man, they'll do it.
I mean, I do understand that, and like I said, you know, when the fans approached me when I was doing the show, the majority of the consensus was red is green, if you follow what I'm saying there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you know, I am a man that listens to the fans, because to me, without that, we might as well, you know, pick a different hobby, if you will.
Right.
Instead of, you know, running it as a business. You know, because to me, that's what makes or breaks us, especially on the indies, especially in a state like Georgia, is listening to the fans' input. I've had a lot of very positive vibe on this show, and for several shows after that, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, if you keep on running down this path, you know, we'll be there. We'll buy tickets. But if it gets to the point where it's played out, then, of course, we can always change gears. You know, I had a wise man once tell me, Jim Cornette, I'm sure everybody knows who he is, once told me that nobody in this business is indispensable, not even me. And with that, I always maintain several contacts throughout the wrestling business. I am well-traveled. You know, again, I spent a long career in the United States Navy, traveled all over the country, traveled all over the world. So I had the opportunity to network in a lot of different places. I feel that a big advantage to me. So I've made a lot of those very same contacts.
How quickly did you realize that your training and your discipline from the military was of the utmost importance when it came to putting on a wrestling promotion?
Well, I mean, not with just wrestling, but with life. I mean, it's key, you know, because, you know, as they call it, basic training, you know, it's not just basic training for military service, it's basic training for life. You know, it defines how you should be as an individual, raises the bar to be a more productive citizen, not just military or wrestling or what have you, but in life. So I attribute a lot of that to a lot of the other decisions I've made outside of wrestling in the military as well. But, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because a lot of the professional wrestling infrastructure is very similar to the military. You know, and the camaraderie and the brotherhood is very, very similar. So, you know, there are a lot of guys who, you know, made it to the big time as wrestlers. You know, and of course, even on the indie scene, that have all served their country. You know, like Georgia's own Micah Taylor. I'm sure you guys are familiar with him, right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, you know, Mr. Taylor is a former United States Marine, I'm proud to say. You know, there are several other members like Gunner who will be on my card.
Gunner, who's on your show,
that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, former United States Marine. You know, of course, being a Navy man myself, you know, us and the Marines, we stick together, you know, even though we have our little inter-service pickings, I guess.
But that's it. I think it's that camaraderie that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what really drew me to being in the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what brought me to saying, I want to do this, instead of just sitting back as a fan, you know, and, you know, watching old school wrestling matches on tape or whatever. That's what said, I want to throw my hat in the ring and, you know, be in this business.
You mentioned, you know, you said you'd have a cast of regulars and then some new faces. Who are some of those regulars that you expect to be with you as you grow?
Well, Corp Robinson has expressed an interest to stay on. Of course, can't go wrong with him and Bam Bam Pondo as a regular member of the roster. Of course, I've got one of the locals who's coming back after a little bit of a hiatus. The Extreme Phenom is making his return. And of course, I've known him for a number of years, and he will definitely complement what we're trying to do. And of course, we got crafty, dangerous Danny Horn. You know, he might be a little guy, but he is truly a dangerous one. And of course, you know, you definitely can't go wrong with Iceberg or Tank.
Cannot.
I intend to keep those guys around for as long as possible.
A lot of people ran a lot of shows because they had Tank or Berg on the roster, and that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And Pondo's becoming a guy who you know, monthly I see him somewhere in Georgia. So something must keep bringing him back.
Oh, absolutely. I intend to keep him around as long as possible. He will probably be somebody you see as a regular stable on my show. You know, when the time comes for me to unveil titles, you know, I have a strong feeling he'll be in contention for, you know, probably my top five.
That was the next place I wanted to go to, like, to see if, you know, because not everybody has in mind to have titles. Some people want to be a show that's, you know, a different kind of thing, and you're not necessarily have a title up for the line, but you plan on going that route somewhere in the future.
Right, right. Well, like I said, you know, not if, you know, titles aren't important to everybody, but I think I'm going to have a title division that's unique to my company. We'll go to unveil it, you know, because I don't want to, like I said, I want to give people something to come back and see, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm waiting on Mr. Murdoch to call in, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about the upcoming show and about his illustrious career thus far.
And
well, there is another.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
There is another number with a Macon area code, but I would assume that's not him.
Well, I've had it under good authority that Trevor Murdoch's opponent plans to call in, talk to us tonight as well.
Well, I guess I can see who this is then.
All right.
478 area code number. You're on Georgia Wrestling Now. Who is this?
Yeah, this is Dangerous Danny Horn.
Oh, there he is. The Georgia hardcore legend himself, Dangerous Danny Horn. What do you have to tell us tonight, Danny?
That's right. I understand that you're going to have somebody on your news broadcast that's going to come to Fort Valley Singlehole Wrestling and put a bull rope around my neck Saturday night. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, son, you're coming down to Stranglehold Wrestling, and I'm Dangerous Danny Horn, and it's going to be the other way around. I think I'm going to put the bull rope around your neck and drag you around the ring.
Oh, strong word. What do you guys think about
strong.
That?
Well, unfortunately, Trevor Murdoch is not here to respond just yet, but I'm sure he will hear this at some point and hopefully call in and have a response for you. But
Danny Horn, what are your plans for Stranglehold Wrestling? What do you plan to bring to the table after Bloodbath?
Well, true talent. That's what I plan on bringing to Stranglehold Wrestling. True wrestling talent. Not no backyarder. Not one of these guys that is just Saturday night superstars. true talent is what I'm going to bring to Stranglehold Wrestling.
Well, you know, a lot of people who are critical of this kind of hardcore style that's represented at this particular event, you know, kind of say that that style of wrestling is representative of people without much wrestling talent. So what, aside from bull ropes and death matches and stuff, what do you mean you'll bring true talent to Stranglehold Wrestling?
Well, see, that's just the thing is, see, I've got true wrestling talent. I was a wrestler. Well, I was actually trained by Bad Boy Buddy Burke. I was trained by the Assassins. You know, I'm actually trained, not one of these backyard wrestlers that comes in here and just has to do hardcore because they have no wrestling talent.
Is it just preference for what a hardcore match is that makes you want to do that so much more?
Well, I mean, it's because the promotions that are around here in Georgia, some of these promotions don't want you, you know, to show your true talent. They don't want you to, you know, go out here and they don't want you to bleed and they don't want you to use tables and barbed wire and stuff like that. Well, it takes a man, and I mean a true man, to do those type of matches.
That's very true. And that's why we're bringing it to Middle Georgia, because we're raising the bar at Stranglehold Wrestling. We'd want to be your garden variety, you know, run of the mill wrestling. We're gonna be revolutionary.
That's right.
Danny,
well,
for our listeners who may not be.
Go ahead.
Sorry, somebody else. Go ahead.
Could you tell us some of the more moments you're proud of with that hardcore style, things that you've done that you really got a kick out of?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I've had shows where I've gone in and I've wrestled the likes of Johnny Grunge, you know, Public Enemy, God rest his soul. You know, I've wrestled the likes of Junkyard Dog. I've wrestled Mini Popo. You know, I've wrestled the great. You know, now it's time to, you know, put my talent to something that, I don't know. It's time for me to not be this, you know, everybody portrays me as being the crybaby Danny Horn. You know, crybaby this and crybaby that. Well, there comes a moment in life where you got to get away from that crybaby name and show everybody how dangerous I really can be. See, that's the reason why they gave me the name Dangerous. And come the 19th, down here in Fort Valley, Stranglehold Wrestling, I'm going to show you, all these fans, and Trevor Murdoch why they call me Dangerous.
Trevor Murdoch must have been listening because he is now on the show. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, welcome, Trevor. How you doing?
I'm a big ball of joy.
Well, we have your opponent, Dangerous Danny Horn, tonight that says you're not going to drag him around that ring with that bull rope. What do you got to say to that?
Well, he wouldn't be the first guy who's talked smack and didn't really know what he was talking about. I'm a former 3-time WWE Tag Team Champion, but the reason I am that is because I was trained by 8-time NWA Heavyweight Champion Harley Race, one of the toughest men on God's green earth. So he's more than welcome to go out there and tell everybody that he's going to drag me around, beat me up, and put the hurting on me. But if he can handle Harley Race's first student and walk away with, you know, to be able to walk away, he'll be lucky.
Walk away, I'm going to walk away and then some there, Mr. Murdoch.
You're going to walk. You might be able to walk away, but you're definitely not going to be the same man that you were when you walked in the ring. There's a reason why there's 260 pounds of sexiness here.
Sexiness. Yeah, I've watched your career, Mr. Murdoch. I've watched you on TV, you know, you and your partner, God rest his soul, Mr. Cade. You know, I've seen you walk around here talking about how you're big bad Texas and you're this and you're that. Well, guess what, buddy? You're coming down the Fort Valley into my territory. And it's going to be one way or another. I'm going to drag you around that ring. I'm going to bust you open. I'm going to make you leak all over that canvas. And I'm going to beat you for the 1, 2, 3. And show everybody why I am the hardcore legend.
Well, Danny, I mean, I appreciate all your enthusiasm and your excitement and your imaginary tales of what's going to happen at the end of the night. But I'm pretty sure, my friend, it's going to be actually the opposite. When I come down to that territory, I'm there to let everybody know who I am and what I've done. And I'm going to drag your little ass around that ring and humble you and touch every single one of them turnbuckles. And when I am, I'm going to be looking at you eye to eye, looking in your eyes, so you know that the better man beat you that night.
That's hard words there, Mr. Murdoch.
Well, I've been proving people wrong my whole life. I figure you're going to be just next on the list.
Oh, next on the list, huh? Well, I've already beaten the Lenny Poffos, you know, Randy Savage's younger brother. I've already beaten the Johnny Grunges. I've already beaten the J.Y.D.'s. Heck, why not put Trevor Murdoch on that same list as legends that I've beaten?
Well, I hope after the 19th you don't have too many bookings afterwards, because you're not going to be able to make it, most likely, because at the 19th most likely will be your last show.
Be my last show, huh? Okay,
yes.
Well, we'll see on the 19th there, Mr. Murdoch.
Oh, I hope so. I hope they all come out to see it, Dan. I hope they see it all. Because there's no one
to
be able to stop me.
To be honest with you, it's an honor. It's an honor for me to get in the ring with such fine wrestling talent that got trained by one of the toughest men in sports wrestling entertainment, Harley Race, a 7-time world heavyweight champion.
8 times.
It's an honor to get in the ring with you, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, Danny, but most likely you're going to have that same sentiment when the evening's over with. My job and what I've been paid to do is to come in there, destroy, dominate, and fuck shit up, and then leave with my money. And I guess I can apologize that you're just going to be left in the aftermath.
Well, I mean, if that's what you think, then that's why I can't, you know, go against that. That's your dreams, coming in there, beating the hardcore legend of Georgia, Dangerous Danny Horn, and leaving him laying in the middle of the ring. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've got eyes behind my back. You know, come out there with the bull ropes, and you can do this, and you can do that. It don't matter, because I've done been through all of it. You ain't no, you know, you're just a stepping stone to what I'm going after.
And Danny's mentioned, you know, a couple times you are coming into his area in Georgia. When was the last time you were wrestling in Georgia, Trevor?
Oh, we're going about 8 or 9 years ago. It's been a while. But,
wow.
And the thing is, I understand, you know, how Dangerous Danny is putting out there that I'm coming to his hometown, his area, his people. And I'd be an absolute fool to walk into this situation not knowing who my opponent is, what he's done, and where he's been. I would be an absolute fool not to respect the person that's across the ring from me, because you never know. I've had some of my worst ass kickings by smaller guys, but I'm pretty damn sure that come September 19th, I've never lost a bull rope match, and I don't make September 19th. I don't plan on it being any different than any other solution. I come out as the winner.
Well, there you have it, folks. Stranglehold Wrestling Bloodbath, September 19th, the Dusty Rose Memorial Bull Rope Match. Trevor Murdoch, Danny Horn, they're going to leave it all out in the ring, folks. All out in the ring.
All right, well, thanks for calling.
What do you say, John?
Eric,
what do you say, Matt?
Sounds good.
I heard it right here. I heard it all right here.
But if Trevor's got a few more minutes, I think Matt and I have got a few more questions for him. We've got 15 minutes left of the show. So,
me and Danny are going to take our leave of you guys for the evening. Thank you all for having us. Danny,
best of luck,
please
gentlemen.
Meet me in the office. Trevor, I'll see you Saturday night, brother man.
All right, buddy. I'm looking forward to it.
See you soon. Guys, we appreciate it. Danny, see you at the office.
Thanks, Eric.
Later.
So, Trevor, you mentioned it's been 8 or 9 years. I'm guessing the last time you wrestled in Georgia was probably with WWE, right?
Yes.
So what, what maybe it's just a matter of business, but what brought you or what's bringing you to Georgia for this particular match? Was it something you wanted to do? You wanted to wrestle in Georgia again, or was it simply Eric asked you to come and offered you the right amount and you're coming?
Well, it was a combination of both things. Yes, Eric from Stranglehold Wrestling hit me up, explained what kind of match that he was trying to put together. And not to mention, I haven't been in that area in a long time. I mean, a really, really long time, even on the independent level. I just haven't had an opportunity to make my way down there. So it gives me I'm actually pretty excited the fact that I'm going to be in Georgia and see some old friends. And Georgia's always been a place that's got some solid wrestling history and tradition. And just to be a part of it's exciting.
Did you happen to pass through, Deep South when it was developmental? Was that still going around when you were coming through, or had that already stopped by the time you were about
They had started. I was supposed to go to developmental when I got my job. That was the plan. That was what they told me. So I had went home and talked to my beautiful wife and said, hey, we're moving to Louisville. And I got a call 3 weeks later saying, hey, we're going to bring you up to TV. We're going to tag you with Lance Cade and see what you guys look like. So me personally, I've never seen the inside of any developmental company, even in visits. When I was with the program, when I was with WWE, I've never walked in. I went straight from the independent scene and what I did in the business to 6 weeks later being WWE Tag Team Champion.
Did that raise an eyebrow or two in the WWE locker room?
Oh, yeah, it got me a ton of heat. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it to you. Yeah, it got me a ton of heat. I mean, you got guys that have been in the developmental system 3 and 4 years busting their ass. And hitting the gym and the weights and everything else and look like $1 million. And you've got this fat redneck comes in and he walks in, has a match, gets his job, and then 6 weeks later he's carrying a tag team belt. None of these guys understood it. And if I was in their shoes, I wouldn't understand it either. It took me about 6 months of these guys trying to run me and blow me up and try to beat me up, take advantage of me. And try to embarrass me, and me constantly being able to keep up. What 99% of that locker room didn't know was when I got hired with WWE, I had just gotten back from 6 months in the Noah Dojo doing 500 squats a day, 300 push-ups a day. I mean, I was in the best shape of my life. Granted, I wasn't cut and had abs and all that other shit, but you couldn't blow me up. And for the first couple of months, these guys are running me, and I'm letting them do it because I know why they're doing it. And I'm just steadily keeping up with them, smiling. Hey, how's it going? Yeah,
that
guy.
Don't they understand
blown up.
Anytime a chubby redneck makes it to the big show, he can go. There's never been one that hasn't been able to do it. Why would you be the first one?
I don't know, but I understood their issues, and I understood that I needed to prove myself to my coworkers. Even though I didn't have to, I knew that it would be best for business for me. The guys that, and I'm not even putting heat on them, the guys that I had the biggest issues physically with was Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin. And that's because you got two shooters in the best shape of their lives, seeing this guy come in, and they're having to put me over every night.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, if that's the case, then we're going to make sure this guy looks. They weren't trying to make me look bad. They were just putting me through the test. And obviously I passed with flying colors or we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right. I remember a lot about that run. And, I mean, I just thought everything you and Kay did was just out. There was the tiniest little things. I remember there was a match between you and the Hardys, and you were the heels. And for some reason, the storyline was that you guys were not going to cheat. And I remember you and Kate just yelling, "We're not rule breakers." And I thought that was the funniest damn thing, because every time the referee's back was turned, you cheated your asses off.
Well, but that's the thing that I felt like the business is missing. Like, they've already went out and said, what we're doing. Vince has went out and said, what we're doing is entertainment. It doesn't
right.
mean that it's fake. It doesn't mean that I don't get my ass kicked. It doesn't mean that I don't, when I get out of the ring, I don't question myself if I made the right decision in life choices. It doesn't mean that when I get up out of bed every morning, it takes me 15 minutes just to get out. The thing is people want to be entertained. And when you've got a whole roster of the same guys running the same matches, and most likely most of those guys on that roster are trying to compete with guys, and they're trying to do the same thing that guys that are better than them that are doing. Does that make any sense?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. So you've got this whole roster of guys with only three, four really talented guys, and then you've got other people trying to copycat that and doing a very bad job at it.
Yep.
So you've got no flair, you've got no funk, you're asking yourself, why? Yes, the ratings went up this week, but where were they at 10 years ago at this time?
Yep.
At this time, they've consistently gone down. but then you have a company like Lucha Libre that has wrestling and characters and gimmicks, and they're blowing the ratings off the roof. What does that tell you? People want to be entertained. They want gimmicks. They're not buying a ticket because they walked in and said, yes, I believe there's a man running around in a clown outfit with clown makeup on beating people up. Yes, there's a guy in an Elvis outfit shaking his ass with a guitar down the street when he goes to the grocery store. People know what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you really expect to see John Cena fucking walking down the street in his hat and his shorts going, hustle, respect, loyalty? That was the reason, actually, this argument right here was the reason why Lance and I lost the tag titles the first time. Was because
really?
Bruce Pritchard tried to, because he was the one that supposedly found Cena, was trying to convince me and Lance that John Cena was a real thug, like that he was like, that's him in real life. And my tag partner, who had been down at Developmental with John when he did the, what's
prototype?
That, like the robot gimmick.
The prototype.
I've got a 280-pound gorilla redneck that doesn't have a filter on his mouth telling Bruce Pritchard, part of Talent Relations, that you're full of shit. You're trying to make me believe something and tell me something that's not true. I went to Developmental. I lived with that guy for a while. He don't walk around like that. That's not him. I'm not saying it's not a part of him.
But
I'm
that's
saying
not
it's
him.
Not him. And Bruce took that to offense, that we were somehow burying him and burying Cena, even to the point where Cena came up to us and goes, guys, are you talking shit about me? No. We told him exactly what happened. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, we're fucking doing the job to Kane and Big Show at Cyber Sunday with Shawn Michaels coming up to us going, what did you boys say? Because Bruce Pritchard went in there and buried you boys.
I read the thing that JTG, the book that he put out, you know, relatively recently.
Oh, full of shit.
I thought so. I couldn't even finish it because it did irk me a lot. A lot of when he was talking about getting heat, I was like, you should have gotten heat for a lot of those things. If you miss your TV date because you're getting your hair braided, that's a bad sign. If I don't show up to my job tomorrow and tell them I was getting a haircut, it's not going to be cool. But I bring that up to say this. It felt like that particular time was extremely tumultuous backstage. Is that the case?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know at least in the tag team division, we had no solid tag teams, no front runners. And the best tag team that was there was Cade and I. And we're constantly being put either on the back burner or on the shelf and getting pulled out when there's nobody else. So we got to a point where, like, okay, they're basically telling us we're just the side we're the side chick to the main event, basically,
yeah.
To the main tag team. That's fine. All right. At least we know our places. So we go in there with these guys, and we are trying to help them get over, get better, work on things in your free time, because they were living down near OVW, so they had to, they had an opportunity to go to a school and train and get better and work on things. The same as when I got home on my off days, I was going to Harley school, knocking the ring rust and trying off new moves, and Lance was going to Sean's school. This is in our off days. This is 7 days, 6 days on the road to come home, kiss my wife, tell her I love her, to go up to a gym and work with guys so I could get better. We would ask these guys, hey, did you work on what we talked about last week? No, man, had to do my hair, and then my lady came over. It was always some sort of bullshit excuse of other than, no, we just didn't put in the time. And we could almost respected that if they would have just been honest. Like, yeah, we just said fuck it and didn't do it.
We got paid, so, I don't mean to go in that direction, but I got to ask. Did it irk you that he was the last one left out of the four guys? And obviously,
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look back and you go, okay, of all the guys that could have carried that one spot, he was better than Shad. I give him that. He had, he actually tried at times and come up with different moves that made sense. And I mean, we were working with the Highlanders at the time, and
God, I forgot those guys.
Good guys. I got along with them personally, but they made comments like, "Well, we were big guys on the indies." What companies were you working for? Were you working for MCW, a bunch of midgets? There's no way you guys could be big guys on the indies. I'm average. Lance is above average. You're a midget, and these guys are trying to call spots where they want to power slam us. And those are the kind of things that we had to deal with on a daily basis. Because either A, they were brought up too fast, B, they weren't given enough information to know their gimmick and where they were going, that they were just kind of left out to dry. And Cade and I are there to try to pick up the pieces to salvage a tag team division that really doesn't exist and still keep ourselves, relevant.
Yeah. And was there an intermediary for you to kind of, I know there's agents and everything, but was there someone you could go to and with confidence and say, hey, these guys are just, they don't get it. They want to do all these dumb things. Or would that always just come back on you negatively?
It does and doesn't. Hey, will you let your dog, or never mind. It does and it doesn't. A lot of those agents up there are just as concerned about their jobs as we are about ours. So if you bring something to them, and I'm not naming any names, but if they know that it'll bring up either heat or will cause some sort of issues for them, it doesn't get to the proper person. And if you're not a top guy, no one else is really listening. Just, you're basically told to be happy that you've got a job, do the best you can with it, and hope you don't get fired. And when you're told this and you have worked, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. I worked for almost 9 years doing indie shows and taking bumps and working in front of three people and not making any money. I did this for 9 years thinking that I was going to hopefully eventually make it to the top dog. And when you get there, you're like, holy crap, it's harder to be here. I changed personally as a person, because you're constantly worried about someone screwing you over. How can that not carry over into your personal life?
Yeah.
And that's, a lot of people don't quite understand that. And, I get people that ask me, Trevor, how come you're not with WWE anymore? Well, I've got a 9-year-old son that loves football and loves the fact that his dad is here, and I'm not a hateful person. I'm pretty sure that's a good enough reason for me to walk away and call it a day. I mean, I'm certainly not making the money I was making with WWE.
Sure.
Nobody is once you leave.
And somebody's eating, and the family's eating.
Yep. And I'm there for practices.
How long did it take after the dust settled for you to, it seems like you, at some point, you get the sense of relief that time is over. I mean, you get to go on with your life. How long did it take you to get to that point?
It it's a constant work in progress, man, to be honest with you. I mean, even now, so long ago, you know, the fact that I've been gone so long, WWE is the only place to go. I mean, if you really want to make a living at this business, WWE is the only place to go. And right now, with the way the wrestling business is and the fact that the independents are so saturated with guys that are currently on TV, you know, guys like from TNA and stuff that can go do independents, it's hard to get a booking, let alone to make a living at it. So it's a constant reminder of, you know, I don't know if I made the right decision. You see the things that you're there for at home and the things that you can do that you couldn't do with WWE. There was a sense of relief as soon as I got off the phone, to be absolutely honest with you.
Really?
Oh my goodness. It was a 50-50 split. Of course, when you get the call, immediately you're worried, you're scared. You're like, well, oh my God, what am I going to do? Holy fuck. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. But then you go, okay, what do I got to do today? Wait a minute. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to be on a plane ever again if I don't want to right now. I don't have to worry. I can, like, pick up my phone and not recognize the number and answer it comfortably.
It'd be great to get out here and mow this yard.
Every guy that's been with excuse me?
It'd be great to get out here and just mow this yard and not have to worry about it.
Yeah. And you guys will find that if you talk to guys that were released, they have that same feeling. Like, don't get me wrong, it's an immediate, oh my God, what the fuck do I do? But then there's sense of, wait a minute, there's nobody telling me what to do. I can do whatever I want. If I want to go out, and I'm not saying this is what I want to do, but if I want to go out and I want to buy a big old fat sack of weed and smoke to my heart's content, I've got no concern that in 30 days and or 2 weeks, most likely random, that I'm gonna have to be concerned about that.
Yeah.
Or that if I want to get up and just grab me and my family and make a vacation that minute, hey, we're going to Tennessee, I can do it. Whereas before, there was none of that. Like, not even close. Like, hey, want to go on vacation? Yeah, let's try to work it in on the day and a half that I'm home in between flying in from Connecticut, and then I've got to head to Portugal in 2 days. Let's see if we can squeeze that in.
Well, I know we're getting close to time. I could talk to you all day, Trevor, but I'll let Jonathan get in here.
Okay. Well, I mean, you, of course, you asked a lot of the same stuff I was going to ask, but I wanted to go back to the beginning of the conversation when you skipped developmental, but, you know, you, as you mentioned, you did some time in Japan and you did a lot of work on the indies prior to that, and you worked or you trained with Harley Race, and I believe your first TNA stint was prior to WWE as well, right?
Yes, I went from doing Harley's stuff to, Jeff was starting up TNA, and Harley was smart enough to know that if he could get Jeff booked on his shows, on a show, that possibly one of his guys could get a job there. And sure enough, Harley booked me against Jeff in a singles match, probably 3 or 4 months before TNA actually opened up doors. And I had a great singles match with Jeff, and I got a call 2 weeks later from one of the Harris boys, Ron. I was tight with Ron, sorry. And Ron calls me and says, hey, man, they want to use you. This is the gimmick you're going to have. This is going to be your name. I need you to drive down here in 3 weeks. And I did their first 8 or 9 pay-per-views when they were still pay-per-views. And I got a chance to go to Japan for 3 weeks. Harley got me booked for my first tour. So I let the TNA office know as soon as I knew. Literally, I got off the phone with Harley. I called them immediately, 2 seconds later. Let them know. They were happy that I told them in advance. They wrote me off TV so they could write me back in. I go over to Japan for 3 weeks, come back, and I never hear from them again. And that was my first stint with TNA.
How did the second stint compare to the first stint? And then what was the Rinka King thing like as well?
Well, the second stint, you know, I was coming in off of, you know, my WWE run, and when they were putting me in the ring with guys, it was, they weren't just their lower card guys. I, you know, I did an I Quit match with Booker T. I did a singles match with Rhino. I did a pay-per-view with Abyss. I did a Clockworks Orange match with Raven. I wrestled in their tag team tournament. Everything seemed, they were putting me, even though I was doing the job, I was doing the job to their top guys, so I assumed that this was a precursor to at least a job. But again, nothing ever happened after that. Like, this might be the scenario. I went to go, I think my last match was with Rhino, and they just brought Taz in. They didn't know he was, they might have had an idea for him as an announcer, I don't know, but they just brought him in, and he was my agent, and he asked me what my finish was, and at the time it was a top rope bulldog, and he said, can you hit your finish on Rhino, him kick out, and then spear you 1, 2, 3, and I said, Taz, I don't have a contract here, I don't have a job, I was like, I can do any other move but that one, I've always been taught to protect my finish.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay, no problem. About an hour and a half later, Road Dogg Jesse James came up to me. He's like, yo, dude, we got to talk. We got to go talk to Terry Taylor right now. Okay. And we get in there, and Taz is in there, and the first thing Terry Taylor says to me is, do you have a fucking problem with the finishes we come up with? And I said, no. Can you give me a little bit more detail on what you're talking about? Because I assumed the conversation I had with Taz was, I mean, he was cool with it. No, I understand, man, and went on. And he proceeds to tell me what Taz told him and proceeded to tell me what he thought of that situation. And I proceeded to tell Terry Taylor where I came from, why I'm doing what I'm doing. And if he doesn't like it, they can all three lick my ball sack because nobody here has, no one's got me under a deal. Like there's, all I'm doing is coming in per show deal and I'm doing the job to your guys. So that does nothing for me. So I'm not going to sit there and take a bunch of an ass chewing over something that I didn't agree with, nor did I have any reason to do it. You guys, you're not hiring me. You're bringing me in just like an independent show. Never got booked after that with TNA.
God. Oh, man.
But you did,
if
you
I,
did
if
bring
my mouth
King,
shut,
which
I'd still
was
probably a... be working. If I kept my mouth shut on most things, I'd probably still be working a lot of these companies. But what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. The yeah. Ring of King deal was just out of nowhere. I got a call from Dave Lagana, who was working with Jeff, and he said, hey, hell, they didn't even know I was still wrestling, even though I was on the independents every weekend. Hey, are you wrestling? Yeah. Well, we'd like to have, you come to India and do this, cowboy character, and we just need you like Stan Hansen. I said, cool. That's easy.
I know
just
that
run around act
pretty
like
well.
A lunatic and beat people up.
The shit out of people.
where do I sign? And I did those. We did those two sets of TV tapings. I went back for the first one and the second one, and nothing ever Jeff never pursued it. I don't know if he had global on his mind at the time, and was just trying to get into the market. I don't know, but nothing ever happened after that.
Anything there with global you think might come your way?
I think in time, right now they're trying to make an impression, and with me having the WWE brand on me, they don't want too many of those guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that eventually in time we can work something out. I just don't think now's the right time.
Because it certainly feels like you'd fit right in with what they're.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was.
Well, I'm hoping.
That's where I was going with
my
question.
Fellas. I'm planning on opening up a training facility in Kansas City. I mean, right in the Midwest, man. There's nothing in that area, and I'm able to hit Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri. I want to start to train guys. I'm going to have a full gym with two rings. I'm also going to have a chiropractor there and a massage therapist. I really, really want to make this go and train guys properly and give them the opportunity to go to NXT, because there's a huge gap right now from a guy that says, I want to be a pro wrestler, to NXT. You've got to learn from the proper person and learn the right way. And also in my gym I actually am going to have two certified trainers. My business partner is a certified trainer. He currently works with the NFL and the MLB. He's going to actually be able to teach guys on how to work out properly, what to lift, why to lift, and how to do it properly. The only school that I know that's offering that now is the Performance Center.
Well,
that is my future.
That sounds great. But like I said, I was going to ask about Global Force, but also you mentioned earlier kind of the state of how, you know, guys that are on TNA and Ring of Honor are also appearing at indie shows every week. So are there any plan, you know, you're still doing indies here and there, it looks like. Are there any other options for you, or have you talked to anyone? I guess TNA sounds like that's out of the picture, but maybe, you know, Stevie Richards is doing some stuff with Ring of Honor. So, you know, they're bringing in former WWE guys and stuff like that. Have you talked to anyone like that, or maybe Japan?
Yeah, that's always in the works. Right now with me, I'm focusing on opening up my facility. So out of the country work right now doesn't fit into my schedule.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I don't know if I can keep up with what they're putting on TV nowadays. I mean, a lot of those guys, I give them credit. They're going 90 miles an hour from bell to bell. And some of that's wrestling to me. Some of it isn't. And I just don't know if the current product is what people want to see out of me. I don't. Does that make any sense? I don't know.
Yeah. It makes 100% sense. Yep, I agree with every bit of it. I don't. I every time I watch ROH, if there's a what I think is a wrestling match on the card, and I enjoy that one, that's the one the crowd just phased out on. So yeah, I'm with you.
They're looking for guys to get hurt, and I'm.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not interested. I tell stories. I don't do car crashes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, I've got nothing else for you tonight. I mean, like Matt said, I could go on forever, but I don't want to keep you all night. So where can people find you on social media and the internet? Do you have a website or just a Facebook
page?
Yeah,
man, catch me on Facebook. You know, obviously Trevor Murdoch, but you can also go to Twitter at RealTMurdoch and hit me up on there, and I'm also RealTMurdoch on Instagram, so. And you can also catch me at trevor.murdoch@aol.com. One of the last wrestlers to still have an AOL address.
I noticed that earlier. I was like, this has to be him, because who else
would
have an AOL address?
I'm loyal, man. Fuck, I'm loyal to the bone.
You still get a new CD in the mail every year?
Oh, yeah, of course, man. Updating. I update my AOL account. I still got the dial-up noise on there. What are you talking about, boys?
And of course, Georgia fans again can catch Trevor Murdoch at Stranglehold Wrestling's Bloodbath this Saturday.
Yes, this Saturday.
And in addition, I got pictures,
and I'm gonna have gimmicks come out and get pictures and buy pictures and see me, get autographs, do it all.
Do you ever do seminars or anything like that when you do indie bookings?
Actually, I do. I try to work in seminars on most of my bookings if I can. With this one, I knew this match was going to be a little bit rougher, and so I held off on wanting to do a seminar before it. I want to be prepared. Bull rope matches aren't no joke.
Yep.
And if you're not prepared, you can get hurt 100 times worse than what you really can, I guess. I just want to be prepared.
All right.
But, yes, I do try to run training seminars when I come to independence. And I want to be able to take what I know and what I've learned and pass it on to guys and just give them an extra edge. You know, when they do finally get a shot, they're a little bit more prepared. I know when I went up to WWE 8 or 9 different times doing tryouts. And sometimes I worked matches. Sometimes they just said, well, we don't need anybody, guys, so just enjoy the show. And I never had anybody telling me, hey, they're looking at this. Hey, they're, you know, make sure you don't do this in the ring. Make sure you focus on that. It gives me an opportunity to pass down knowledge to guys that haven't been where I have, and they can be a little bit more prepared to be successful. Because everybody goes up there wanting to get a job. Why wouldn't you want to have as much knowledge as possible when you go into that situation?
Absolutely. Well, hopefully you'll be back in Georgia in the near future, and maybe you can do one of those seminars. I always encourage people to take advantage of those when they come anywhere close to Georgia. So,
awesome.
But not this
Thank
time.
You very much.
So, yeah, again, Stranglehold Wrestling's Bloodbath is this Saturday. You can find it on Facebook. Stranglehold Wrestling has a Facebook page. They also have strangleholdwrestling.weebly.com, but it looks like Facebook's a little more up to date, so just check it out there. But thanks for calling in tonight, and good luck in your match on Saturday.
Thank you very much, boys. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Trevor.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
All right, well, lots going on Saturday. I know, Matt, you will be busy, I'm guessing, at least one place, but where will you be this Saturday?
I will be in Porterdale, Georgia, at the Main Event Arena for PCW. This is the last stop on the road to sacred ground. Johnny Danger, Devlin Valak put it all on the line versus Carpenter and a partner of his choosing for the right to go to the tag team season final at Sacred Ground. And people in attendance there on that show, we will have a very special deal about tickets to Sacred Ground. So if you want to save a little of that jingle as you head back to Avondale and you head to Porterdale for Sacred Ground, it behooves you to be in the Main Event Arena this Saturday.
All right. But if you're not there, there are plenty of other options, including Southern Pride Championship Wrestling's big event in Monroe. It has many, many matches, headlined by the Jagged Edge defending his heavyweight championship against AJ Steele, Logan Creed against Drew Adler, Pandora against Stormy Lee, several other matches. And they also have a website, but again, probably better to just find them on Facebook, Southern Fried Championship Wrestling. And then Peach State also has a big show that day. Jimmy Rave will be defending his title against P-Dog. Simon Sermon and Dusty Mac defend the tag team titles against Stupid and Charles Anders, and many other matches. That is, of course, in Carrollton. And they have a pretty good website, actually. PeachStateWrestlingAlliance.com, I believe it is. Anything else going on this weekend that you can think of, Matt?
That's all I know of right off the bat.
That's all on Saturday. Oh, there's also Deep Southern Championship Wrestling on Saturday in Blue Ridge, Georgia. I don't see a card for that, but you can go to gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com, click on upcoming events, see all those and more. And then the following is Sacred Ground the following weekend?
It will be the 26th.
All right, so... yeah, I guess I don't know who our guest is going to be next Monday.
I am efforting. I'll get you
all right.
Details.
So, yes, we will announce that at another time. But in the meantime, you can check out wrestlingwithpopculture.com for wrestling and other entertainment, including movie reviews, interviews with bands, things of that nature. And, of course, as always, check out gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. And I guess that's all we've got. Oh, no, there is one more thing. The Jake the Snake Roberts documentary is screening in Atlanta. It's on a tour. It'll be in Atlanta. Let me pull this up. I should have had it ready, but The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, which is screened at the Slam Dance Film Festival, which who is kind of responsible for this tour, Slam Dance Presents. It'll be at the Landmark Midtown Art Cinema in the Midtown Promenade September 18th through the 24th. And Jake the Snake, Diamond Dallas Page, and director Steve Yu are going to be there on specific dates. Let me see. Sorry, I didn't have all this. It looks like DDP will be there on the 18th. What's that?
I'm glad you mentioned it. That is something I've been wanting to check out myself.
Yeah, I got to see two pre-screenings of the movie, but I haven't seen the final version. I'm sure it's not too much different than what I saw. But so DDP will be at the theater on the 18th. Stevie will be there on the 21st. I thought I saw a date with Jake. And I guess the DDP Performance Center, DDP Yoga Performance Center, is also opening this week officially.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was already open, but I guess
I did too. I think they're pushing it. I think it was open, but they're doing a big sort of grand opening.
Yeah, that's on Wednesday. It opens to the public. That's in Smyrna. Anyway, I can't find where. Oh, it says DDP and Jake the Snake will be at the screenings of the movie on the 21st and 22nd. I believe there's a website for this. I'm sorry, I don't have all this ready. Let me pull this up real quick.
But I'm sure that Jake Doc is loaded with familiar faces to the Georgia scene.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of that took place right here as Jake was sort of getting around, getting his face back out there.
Well, Scott Hall is in it, of course. James Dillon, who is a local guy that people may have seen wrestling, is in it. But they also have interview footage with people like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Chris Jericho. I forget who all else is in it. But I know there's a website for the movie. And I'm just trying to find that because I'm sure that'll have all the information that I am providing very well right now. And it is JakeTheSnakeMovie.com. It's as simple as that. So
you should have just went with that.
Yep. All right. So that is, I guess it's like a week-long engagement, and you get to meet Jake and DDP and some of the other people at certain screenings. So if you're in the Atlanta area, check that out. And if you're listening from other parts of the country, check out the tour dates because it will be touring. The tour started beginning of September and it goes through, I think, the end of October, different theater, different city each week. So I think that's it. I think I've rambled on enough. Let's see who all, we had a lot of people call in tonight. Thanks to Michael Williams from the Fans of Wrestling radio show. Thanks to Eric Nelson from Stranglehold and Danny Horn, as well as, of course, Trevor Murdoch. And again, just check out WrestlingWithPopCulture.com to find out who next week's guest will be. And that's it. So thank you, Matt. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.